At a gathering in New York City to celebrate May Day, I saw a workshop about a new way of mining coal that's spreading along the East Coast, especially through the southern Appalachian states of West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Mountaintop removal mining involves blasting off the tops of mountains to expose the coal underneath. Amid the activity of the gathering, I talked to Aaron and Kim about this new kind of coal mining. Hi, what's your name?
Aaron.
And where are you from?
I'm from Blacksburg, Virginia.
Can you describe what mountaintop removal is?
Well, mountaintop removal mining, as it's been called, is like strip mining on steroids. And basically, it's a form of coal mining where jobs are replaced with explosives. And people come in and clear-cut an entire mountain or several mountains and then push topsoil and trees and rocks and everything down into the valleys between the mountains. And then an auger is used to drill these deep holes, and ammonium nitrate kind of explosives are pumped down into these deep holes, maybe 1,000 feet down, and then those charges are set, and the entire mountaintop, like I said, down to 1,000 feet deep, is just blown up. And then all of the rubble is pushed with giant bulldozers or drag lines that can be 20 stories tall into these valleys, into these big inverted piles of rubble called valley fills. And then flat seams of coal, which are maybe 10 inches deep, are left exposed, and people with trucks and bulldozers scoop them right up. And it's just a very devastating process. Every 4 days in the state of West Virginia, more explosives are used than were used in the first Gulf War and the war in Afghanistan combined.
What do the mountains look like once the tops have been removed?
Basically, it looks like a scape that you might see on the moon or maybe in some bleak desert somewhere, where what was once a lush mixed mesophytic forest, one of the most diverse temperate forests on the entire planet, is gone, and streams are buried, and it just looks like this flat, rocky, windy, dusty wasteland where only several types of imported grasses will grow briefly, you know, maybe kudzu. Streams are gone, or any water that remains is completely acidic, or, you know, covered up with rubble. It's just horrible.
Hi, what's your name?
Kim.
And where are you from?
Outside of Asheville, North Carolina.
And can you describe what a mountain range looks like once the mountaintops have been removed?
I once had it described that when you stand on the edge of one of the sites, that you used to have to look up to see the mountain, and now you have to look down. So they literally blast off 900 feet, and it just looks like a barren wasteland. Everything is gray that used to be green. Once they're able to plant some sort of grasses, usually foreign, onto it, it just looks like it's been spray-painted a sort of green and brown. It's not just one mountain, it's the whole range. It just looks like a cancer that just eats through it from when you fly over. And it just looks completely unnatural, almost like a golf course that's in the middle of the wilderness.
So can you talk about some of the companies that are doing this mountaintop removal?
Well, there's a lot of companies that are involved. The biggest ones right now that are involved in mountaintop removal are Massey. Massey is huge. Massey's primarily in West Virginia and Kentucky. There's A&G, which is primarily in Virginia, but is also all over the place. Arch Coal and National Coal. National Coal is a fairly new company. They've only been around for about a year and a half. They're working in Tennessee on Zeb Mountain, and they have plans for the whole Cumberland Plateau all the way down to Georgia.
Are people local to Appalachia going to stand to benefit by these companies creating more jobs for them?
No. Mountaintop removal actually creates less jobs. It destroys jobs. And a lot of the companies, like Massey, mostly won't hire any workers from the area. They'll hire people that have, like, specialties. They'll hire engineers and stuff from the area, but as far as like the labor jobs, like they hire people from other states. They don't hire from that area because they don't want dissent. Coal production rose 32% between 1987 and 1997, but the jobs dropped 29% during that. So even though production's rising, jobs are going down, so this isn't creating jobs. There's more technology that can be used now, so there's less people.
Can you talk about some of the tragedies that have occurred because of mountaintop removal?
Several months ago, there was a three-year-old boy named Jeremy Davidson who was asleep in the middle of the night in his family's home in Appalachia, Virginia, and there was a road that was being cleared up into a mine site, and there was blasting being done for this road in the middle of the night, and a piece of fly rock, which is basically a boulder set loose by blasting, rolled down the mountainside and crashed into his bed, and he was killed in the middle of the night. And the coal company said, like they often say when things happen, oh, this was an act of God. It's very sad, but it was an act of God. In the year 2000, in a town, Inez, Kentucky, there is what the coal companies call a slurry impoundment, which is basically an earthen dam at the top of a mountain behind which millions or even billion gallons of sludgy toxic waste are stored. That's a byproduct of the cleaning off the coal. It's full of lead and chromium and arsenic and mercury, etc. And one of these sludge dams broke loose and released all of this stuff all over Inez, Kentucky, and covered up 100 miles of streams with all this toxic waste and destroyed people's homes. And it was called the biggest environmental disaster that's ever occurred on the East Coast. And the amount of sludge and refuse that covered up everything was supposedly 25 times greater than that in the Exxon Valdez oil spill. So those are just a few examples of tragedies. And basically, these sludge dams are all over West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia. And in total, there's almost 23 billion gallons of toxic sludge, toxic waste that's stored in these states.
Finally, I wanted to just ask you about what people are doing to stop this. It seems like there's a lot of growing energy and a lot of growing consciousness around this mountaintop removal issue. So what are people doing?
Well, there are dozens of organizations who've been working for a decade or more very hard to try and stop this, but this summer is really, it's all really coming to a head. There's a summer campaign called Mountain Justice Summer that a whole lot of people, different kinds of groups, different kind of organizations are envisioning and organizing right now. And so this campaign will bring together all kinds of diverse people for a summer full of different kinds of actions, protests and visible actions and water monitoring and tracking of endangered species and listening projects in the communities where folks are going to go door to door, like it's already been happening, speaking to residents, giving them a chance to voice their concerns and, you know, tell their own stories and also, you know, have some fun, give people maybe from the city a chance to get up in these beautiful mountains that we call our home and see what it's like. The idea of this campaign is that now is the time to stop mountaintop removal, and now is the time to change energy policy in this country so that our life support systems are not completely taken away because of the greed of these companies and the greed of energy consumption. And so the goal of the campaign is to bring mountaintop removal, of course, bring it to an end eventually, but right now bring it to household understanding so that every time somebody switches on a light switch, the idea that comes to their mind is a mountain blowing up somewhere in southern Appalachia.
To learn more about mountaintop removal mining, Mountain Justice Summer, at an upcoming training camp for mountain defense activists, you can go to www.mountainjusticesummer.org.